wherever you are, unless you're driving, close your eyes. If you're driving, just close your mind's eye. And I want you to go back to a moment in childhood around the holidays where the baking smells are wafting from the kitchen and you've got that moment of excitement and you're thinking about the days and family to come. What's baking? Is it buttery? Is it chocolatey? Is it savory? Is it gooey? Is it caramely? Oh, for me, oatmeal cake, which my mother treated almost like a sacred rite of passage. Those smells are like heaven on earth, and they do take us back to a place of being a kid, when the holidays felt often like the most magical time of year if we were lucky. This year doesn't look like some of the holidays in the past, maybe looks a little better than last year's holidays, but today we want to talk about what you're baking in the oven, what you're snacking on late at night, what you're looking forward most to serving after the meal when you get together with family. 800-423-8255. What holiday baking recipes do you hold dear? What are you baking? Did you bake last weekend? What are you baking this coming weekend? What questions do you have about maybe not burning the chocolate or the coconut, for example? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us, Lon Lamb, senior editor at Cooks Illustrated and cast member at America's Test Kitchen, and Joe Gatto, local chef, culinary instructor, and host of From Scratch on Pluto TV, here to talk baking and answer your questions. Lon, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Joe, welcome back.
Oh, I'm sorry. My eyes were still closed and I was eating my mom's cookies. Sorry.
Which cookies, Joe? Jump in. What cookies?
Oh, come on. My mom's sugar cookies. Those were like, we still make them at the house with the kids here. And my mom just actually made them with my kids. Those were, it is holidays for me when I smell those sugar cookies and it's like this culinary poltergeist sneaking through the house, you know, and leading me down the primrose path into the kitchen to steal one that's still a little hot and I shouldn't be taking it off the, you know, it's still kind of breaking apart and I'm still shoving it in my mouth even though it's too hot.
Even though it burns your fingers and tongue?
Oh, yeah. And it's worth it. You know, it's worth it.
Fantastic.
That just reminds me of the holidays so much. And I mean, I love it. I love it.
That's fantastic. Lon, what was the smell and memory for you?
Oh, I am all about the classics. Chocolate chip cookies, please. There's something about that brown sugar and butter and the gooey chocolate when the cookie is still warm that just, oh, I love it.
And is there any special or surprise ingredients, or are you a purist? I know for me, anything that takes the place where chocolate should be is unforgivable. But how about you?
I'm not super discriminating when it comes to chocolate chip cookies. Is that I don't mind if there's a walnut piece or two in there, not too many. But you know, if it's warm, gooey, and slightly crisp on the outside, I'm in.
It all works. So, Joe Gatto, we were talking about the fact that this is a season when we break bread together, and actually, it's also a season when we bake bread together. And I know that savory baking is actually something that you've been thinking about. We've talked with you over the years about all the time you spend baking with your kids. With family.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit. Are you working on some breads with the kids and what do you have for us?
Oh yeah, we've got some stuff in store and you know, my mom's coming over for Christmas. So Christmas is here this year and I can't wait because that's like the Super Bowl for chefs, you know? And my mom said, "What should I bring?" And I don't even think she finished the sentence. And I was like, "English muffin bread." Mm. Because she makes this English muffin bread. It's like this cross between bread and an English muffin, and you toast it, and it's craggly. Because one of my favorite things to do is, after the gifts are torn open and everybody's kind of spent, is to make breakfast. And it could be waffles, but there's always English muffin bread. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And, like, savory baking to me, I know the holidays are always tray is filled with sweets and cookies, but I love that savory baking. And we're also going to be working on some red and green bagels this year to kind of like go up a notch. And the kids love making bagels, so we're going to make them Christmassy and fun and slather some butter on and kind of take a breath after all the gift opening and get ready for the big party to start.
Fantastic. All right, let's go to the phones, 800-423-8255, to share your favorite holiday recipe, that one that's been handed down in your family, to tell us about a new cultural tradition in your household maybe we don't know yet, or to ask your baking questions. We've got Hillary on the line in Concord. Hillary, go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. So I want to make meringues this year for Christmas Eve. And in the past, I've bought little meringue nests, but this year I really want to make them. So I'm going to fill them with vanilla ice cream and raspberry sauce. So I wonder if you could give me some hints on meringues.
Oh, yum. Okay. So Lon, how about you?
Oh, gosh. Meringues are awesome. They're and really the key is you just need to whip the egg whites properly and bake them at a low temperature. There are kind of some visual cues that I look for when I make meringues, and I don't add the sugar right away. I will whisk those egg whites until they're foamy. I look for, gosh, bubbles that kind of like what you would see in a typical bubble bath. So they pile up and build upon each other, but they're discrete and you can see them. They're maybe the size of, I guess, gosh, maybe a quarter inch round bubbles. And it's at that point where, with the mixer still running, I will add the sugar gradually. And that kind of helps the meringues whip up. It helps the egg whites whip up properly and to hold their shape when you go to pipe them and bake them.
And wait, was that Joe Gatto I heard there wanting to add in?
Oh, no, I was just, you know, I use a little cream of tartar, and that helps kind of stabilize the meringue. So that's just a little trick that my mom taught me back in the day.
And it doesn't affect the flavor?
No, I never really tasted any difference to it. You know, you don't use a ton of it, but yeah, that's something that I've used over the years, and it helped.
And I'm just going to stay with this for a second, like a tiny little dash, like bloop, when you touch the bottom, or like half a teaspoon, how much?
I would say about half a teaspoon is what I usually use.
So more than a bloop.
I'm not a big, you know, me and measuring, just, you know, sometimes I just don't do it.
Why am I not shocked to hear that, Joe?
You know me.
That's right. That's
right. A little of this, a little of that.
All right. So we've got a Leslie here on the line in Quincy. Leslie, you're up.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oops, I think we just lost her. She was so excited to tell us. We'll see if we can get Leslie back. I'll come back to Leslie in a second. Oh, nope. Everyone's telling me we have you. Leslie, try again.
Cliffhanger.
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm in the car, which is, you know, very bad. But I'm going to park.
Good.
Yes. I make a spritz butter cookie. That's a German butter cookie that my mother made, my grandmother made. And it's one you make with a hand crank. In fact, I use my grandmother's hand crank every year. And now my kids make it and my niece makes it. And I was just saying they're wonderful. It has almond and vanilla in it. And to me, that is the smell of Christmas. That smell of almond and vanilla and crisp butter cookies. That's Christmas right there.
So a German butter cookie and a Christmas spritz cookie. Leslie, thank you so much. So Lon Lamb, senior editor at Cooks Illustrated, what are some of the cookies that really define the holiday season? And maybe pick one that's a little intimidating, and chocolate chip cookies aside, because you've already touted their benefits, something that's fairly easy and straightforward that people can make as well.
Well, on the theme of kind of caramelly, buttery, with hints of chocolate, there's a British cookie called Millionaire Shortbread, and it's kind of, it's a hybrid of a cookie and a candy bar, which makes it really stand out on a cookie plate. It's a layer of crisp shortbread with a thick layer of caramel on top that's just solid enough that you can slice it, but gooey when you're biting and chewing it. And then a beautiful thin crisp, a beautiful thin snappy layer of chocolate on top. And we have a recipe that I just adore. The shortbread layer is really easy. Just stir a couple of things together. I think it's four ingredients. Mash them into the pan. That caramel is not a real caramel. You make it with sweetened condensed milk. And as long as you I really think an instant read thermometer is important here. And as long as you nail the temperature for that caramel, you're good. And then we've got a lovely trick that I use for all cookies that I decorate with chocolate, where the chocolate is melted very gently in the microwave so that it will re-solidify with a snap and with a nice sheen.
So first, I want to note that we have that recipe. You shared it with us, the Millionaire Shortbread recipe. It's on our website at radioboston.org. And Joe, you shared the sugar cookie recipe with us. It's there, too, and I'll come back to that in a minute. So I am intrigued, though, Lon Lam, before I turn back to Joe Gatto. So there is a way to melt chocolate that helps ensure that it's going to be crunchy again once it's been spread?
Yes. So bear with me. I'm going to have a little bit of food science here for
you. Let's do it.
But chocolate contains cocoa butter, and when you buy a candy bar from the market, it's been cooled such that it will be glossy on the outside and it'll snap and it melts beautifully. When we just melt it haphazardly and let it cool, I don't know if you've done this before, but sometimes your chocolate will be kind of soft and it'll have this kind of white, dusty top. And there's a really easy way to avoid that. You just chop your chocolate finely, stick it in the microwave, and you microwave it at 50% power until it's mostly melted. And then you take a little bit more chocolate, sprinkle it in, and just stir until that last addition of chocolate is melted. And what happens there is that last addition of chocolate, you're adding seed crystals that will help your cocoa butter set up properly so that you have a snappy, glossy chocolate for your cookies or millionaire shortbread.
So not only can I taste it and can I smell it, but I love it that we brought a little chemistry into the baking conversation here today. Fantastic. So Joe Gatto, I'm going to turn to you to tell us a little bit more about the sugar cookie recipe. Is the one that you shared with us, the one you were telling us about at the beginning of the segment from your mom?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, my mom's recipe card. That's really like, you know, the ones I grew up that are all handwritten. And of course, her handwriting is perfect. You know, and the thing that it brings back to me as well is, you know, that's when I started sitting on the counter and I was sifting and I was getting to cut the butter and I was getting involved and we'd be listening to Christmas tunes. And, you know, now it's something that I do with my kids. And that's the big thing with me, you know, like the holidays and like and the kitchen and sharing and getting all together and making the cookies together. That's, I mean, for me, that's my favorite part. I love. Don't get me wrong. That shortbread cookie, I would eat a million of those. Like, no joke. But, like, you know, for me, it's really that time to share. And then, you know, you shove some cookies in your pie hole, and that's awesome. But I love that time with my kids when they're covered in flour, kind of making a mess, and we're laughing and just creating a whole bunch of memories.
Speaking of cookies in the pie hole, what about pies, Lon Lam? What about great Christmas pies? You know, I know for many people it's just too intimidating by the time you make one crust or two crusts and you put together all the ingredients. But any tips or recipes that or thoughts for a truly wonderful Christmas pie?
Oh, wow. So many pies out there. I'm actually going to pivot slightly. There are a number of tart recipes that I've really been getting into recently. And what I like about them is so many of the tart crusts are so much easier than pie dough. If you're intimidated by pie dough, try a shortbready crust for your tart. You can stir together a couple of ingredients, mash them into place, they're par baked. It's a quick, maybe 20-minute bake. And then once they come out, you can fill them with any custard or curd that you've got. And I guess it was 2 years ago, I worked on a cranberry tart. And it's got a gluten-free almond crust. I love the pairing of kind of floral almond extract flavor with butter and cranberries. And it's a gorgeous red color, just firm enough to be sliced. I think it'd be wonderful on the holiday table.
And is almond flour your go-to for gluten-free recipes?
You know, I don't do a ton of gluten-free baking, but I love almond flour because it brings a subtle nuttiness, especially when it bakes and toasts up slightly. But there are really wonderful gluten-free blends out there too. You can make your own, you can purchase one. I think a lot of them work really well, especially in cookies where you don't need a ton of gluten development. So, you know, if you're gluten-free, there are tons of cookies out there where you can just make that substitute.
So, Joe Gatto, give us some surprise stars in terms of herbs and spices that one can use in holiday baking.
I mean, for me, you know, I'm kind of a gingerbread cookie freak. So when I love busting out the ginger and all those yummy flavors that don't get used too often, you know, the molasses and all of those, I love those deep flavors, like the gingerbread cookies all day. So like ginger is kind of a secret weapon for me, from powdered to regular ginger without them grating. I use that in brine because like this year I'm, you know, to get just off the cookie topic for a sec, but I'm actually brining and curing my own ham, and then I'm going to smoke it for dinner. There's a lot of ginger that I'm using in that with molasses. And then there's, you know, the gingerbread cookies, which have ginger and molasses. So, you know, I think those are two like big guns you have in your pantry that you can use and really get some fantastic flavors from.
And Lon, new trends that you're seeing in baking, new flavors, new types of, like products isn't the word I'm looking for, but treats and sweets, new things you're seeing.
Gosh, it actually feels like there's been a kind of a return to classics. I've been seeing a lot of sugar cookies, a lot of decorated cookies, a lot of chocolate-based cookies. I don't know that this is like a big year for trends.
So let me then ask you this. When one is baking cookies, are there kinds you can bake that you can freeze the dough and or freeze the cookies themselves? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. We are hearing that people are having to change their plans last minute. So the people that they've been baking for, maybe they're not going to get to see right away. So how do you keep some of that joy for later when you might be able to be together again, Lynn?
There are so many cookie recipes that I think do really well frozen, whether it's a slice and bake that you're just, you make the dough, maybe bake off a quarter of that batch and pop the rest in the freezer. A nice thing about that style of cookie also is that they're pretty easy to kind of tweak, whether you're adding ginger and molasses, or at least dried ginger to the cookie just to change up the flavor. Or before you slice that cookie, you roll it in sprinkles, chopped nuts. They're lovely for both make ahead and to offer a variety of flavors.
And Joe Gatto, same question to you, just very briefly, that make ahead and freeze, because you might not be able to get to see that loved one till a little later than you'd planned.
Yeah, well, you know, when we make sugar cookies, we're always doubling and tripling the batch and freezing off the doughs because, I mean, it just makes it easier so you don't have to make dough every single time. So that's something we kind of do, and that plays into exactly what you're looking for right now. It's a really easy thing to double those recipes because there's not a lot of ingredients, but you have all the bowls out and everything, so you might as well double it and then just freeze some batches of it so you have it ready at hand whenever you need it.
All right, that is Joe Gatto, local chef, culinary instructor, and host of From Scratch on Pluto TV. Thanks for being with us. Happy holidays, Joe.
Happy holidays. So good seeing you guys, talking to you guys, and I'll see you next year.
All right, and Lon Lam, senior editor at Cooks Illustrated and cast member at America's Test Kitchen. Happy holidays. Thanks for baking a bit with us today.
Happy holidays. Happy baking.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.